If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
Hey yo, we get it done. I'm in and out like a hit and run. Chances of me falling off, slim and none. Wanna take my mic, you better get a gun. Don't be fooled, he might seem tough, but he only a cream puff, spitting what he dreamed up. And on the real, I got better run release stuff.
You're listening to Lee Podcast, episode 310. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Alright, I'm back from my little vacay.
Welcome back, brother.
Thanks! We've been kind of spotty over the last month or so, I know.
It's alright. No one.
All of our listeners.
Which they're not.
Yeah, right. You're so upset. But I had a great time on the Cape.
That's nice, dude. Get away for the weekend. Or you're gone for like a whole week.
A whole week. Saturday to Saturday.
Very cool.
Very well. Yeah, it was good. We had some good weather. I did some different things. I've been going to the Cape my whole life, basically, for like some time in August. And this time I tried to, you know, mix it up a little. Rachel and I did some new things. You know, we went to Edward Gorey's house, if you were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he lived down there. Now it's like a museum, the Edward Gorey house. So that was pretty cool. We went to a new brewery that we discovered.
Very cool.
Devil's Purse, if you're ever down there in Dennis, stop by Devil's Purse Brewing. And then, you know, a couple other new restaurants and stuff. Nothing too fancy, but...
Yeah, but you went to restaurants and things. It's always good.
Yeah, you can go to restaurants, you know.
Because, like, you know, you get hung up with, like, doing family stuff and eating dinner every night. It's like, let's go out to a restaurant.
Yeah, no, Rachel and I make it a point to sometimes go out, even if it's just later, to go out and get a drink or something. You can't yet. So, but we try to go to new restaurants, not same old, same old.
Not to the Pizza Hut.
No, the Pizza Hut is gone.
The Pizza Hut down the Cape is gone?
The Pizza Hut, yeah, that we used to go to.
Oh, man.
It's some kind of family restaurant or something now. I don't know. Times, they are changing, Clay.
Did you go to the water park or to the beach or what?
Get the sun in? Went to the beach as much as possible.
Nice.
And, our house, the house that we rent, it's not our house, but it's our house. It's like right on the Bass River, so we can, you know, kind of hang out on the river a little bit too.
Do you guys always get the same house or?
Yeah. We always get the same place. Nice. Yeah, it's nice. My parents like that. They like to stick with the routine.
Very much like my parents. Always the same thing. Why mess it up?
Yeah, exactly.
If it works, why mess it up?
They like it. Yep. So you were back here in Boston.
I was. I went to the Boston Comic Con.
Boston Comic Con.
I got a lot to say about it, actually. I got a lot to say. And not all of it's good.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Get right into it. The airing of grievances.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
I mean, so new.
Okay, so it's at where PAX is, right? The big convention center.
Well, that's got to be an improvement, right? As far as no.
Well. yes and no. I'd more say I think that place is too big.
Too big?
Yeah, it's almost too big.
Wow.
Because, first of all, as soon as you get there, I'm used to PAX entrance like being like the big entrance right when you walk in. They make you go in and down a long hallway near like where Lon on D and like Walker Stalker Con is, like just to get checked in.
So you were pressed, though, right? Is that...
Yeah, but there was... I mean...
You still go in the regular entrance.
Everybody went through the same entrance. I think maybe there was another entrance that I didn't know where it was, but because I saw some... Once you're in, you see some other people. Like, and, you know, good on them. They have full, I guess I would call it, like, concert security. Like, they have, like, metal detectors now.
Well, that's good.
And that's great. I have no problem with that. And I'm pretty used to going through that stuff now.
Yeah, yeah, or you should be, yeah.
And they have, like, and another safety thing is they have, like, before you even get to where you go through the metal detector, they do, like, a weapons check for your cosplay and stuff, you know? Like,
oh, that's definitely a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So that was, like, cool, and I think pretty standard for this, like, the owners of the convention, they probably just do the same thing wherever they go, you know? So then you get in, and then I went to pick up my badge, and I did that, and then it took me asking three different people how to get to the show floor. None of them could tell me, and I was in a gigantic...
kind of like the main, you know... how to get to that. Like, what's the...
And then I was like, I noticed there was like a big long line in a gigantically empty room. I don't know. It's weird to see like one of those rooms when it's completely empty. But this one was empty, but with a long line in it, like kind of wrapping all around it. So I was like, I'm pressed. Can I go into the floor? They're like, yeah, you're just going to wait in that line over there. I was like, that doesn't...
No, press. Right?
Yeah, like, that's not good. And I was like, maybe they're just holding doors and they're going to let everybody in all at once. And then I said, you know, F this to standing in line after, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, seriously.
Walked around and asked a couple other people, like, no, the entrance is just right here.
And then I saw something like that. Someone posted on Facebook who was an actual exhibitor said the same thing. They thought... They're like, oh, they told me I had to go through the same line as everybody else. But then someone replied, like, no, there was an exhibitor entrance. And then somebody's like, no, you just flash your badge and walk through. Like, I don't know. There were all kinds of different answers, you know?
Yeah, and it's fine if you don't know the answer, but don't give someone the wrong answer.
Say, yes.
Like, let me find out.
Find out the answer or point them in the other direction. Or just say, I don't know.
Or say, I don't know, you can just, okay. So, like, three separate times did I ask somebody that worked there for directions, and they told me either the wrong thing or, like, a misleading thing, or they just didn't know.
Ugh.
They had an information booth on the floor, and I went up to them, and I was thinking, like, you know, this is a lot of wasted time, me, like, waiting to talk to the information people.
Yeah.
I'll get the guidebook on my phone.
Sure.
So, and then I look at the program and it says, you know, download us on guidebook. Download us on guidebook. And I have that for PAX. I have it for New York Comic Con. It was for Boston Comic Con last year. So I opened last year's Boston Comic Con one. That one doesn't work. I opened guidebook app up. I try to download the program for this year. That doesn't work. And then I like open up the program. There's a big ad in there. It says, here, download the guidebook app. And then I go up to the guy whose information is like the information booth. Like, his job is to tell you, like, where do you go to meet Stan Lee or where this panel is or whatever. Only information he has is the program that I'm looking at. So I say, hey, like, you know, where's the guidebook? And he goes, oh, I don't know what that is. I was like, well, it's advertised in here. It's like, you know, it's a guidebook. Like, conventions usually have them. You know, it's fine that you didn't know.
No, absolutely.
But, like, not everybody knows that those things exist even. But he was a person that should have known and didn't know. And then I was like, well, yeah, I'm trying to find it on the App Store and I don't find it. And then he's like, oh, let me look on my App Store. And then
Same app store that you have, right?
Yeah, and then I actually found it. It was a separate new app, and I downloaded it, and I showed it to him, and I explained to him. I was like, well, people are going to ask. So you know, it's this one. It looks like the X-Men logo. That's one to download. There you go.
This poor person.
Yeah. I mean, I was being a jerk to them. I was just trying to help. I was like,
I know. I think you probably saved his life.
Yeah, I was like, people are going to ask, so you know. And then a lot of the stuff in the app wasn't right. The room numbers were wrong. The panels were all messed up. Gigantic sign that, like, from the show floor up, that said "Exit here, exit here," and that's over by where there was a a big line of celebrity tables for, but like the celebrity tables that you have to pay for to get in line to. And then I go walking over there. This big, huge sign that says "Exit here," and I try to walk through that. And like a cartoon, they're like, "You can't come through here." I was like, "What? What does this fucking sign say?" It says "Exit here." He's like, "It's not supposed to say that."
Oh, really?
Like, well, it's really confusing because it's like the only sign in this whole floor you can even see what it says. And it's telling me, like, and previously that day, there was no security guard there and I exited that way. And then I went to the escalator. I was like, it says exit here. The escalator must go up. The escalator was coming down. So I was like, oh, so this, maybe the sign is wrong, or like, why is the escalator not going the right way? Why isn't there an escalator going up and an escalator going down? There's two down escalators coming my way. Near the side that says exit here.
Maybe they want you to run up the down one, you know, like,
And then, like, you get all this attitude from the security people, like, we told you can't come through here. I was like, dude, look at this fucking sign and tell me I'm not supposed to walk through it. You know what I mean? And I'm trying my best all day.
Don't give me the attitude.
I'm trying my best all day not to give anybody, like, attitude, because their job sucks. Like, the information guy jobs suck, the security guy's job there sucks. Like, I don't want to be like, make his job worse by arguing with him that the sign is wrong. It's not his fault, you know.
It's probably not his fault that the sign is
wrong. It's not his fault, but he's like, yo, no, don't go this way, you gotta go that way. And I was like, well, all fucking right, I guess. I mean, you know, the sign is wrong, maybe someone should fix it for tomorrow. Turned out the next day, instead of fixing the sign, they just had two people at security the next day
telling you that you can't,
telling
go.
You not to go there, when they could have just said, "Don't put a big sign that said, don't exit here.
Don't, no exit."
You could have made one out of like poster board. You know what I mean? Like,
just spray painted on the
poster board. You could have fixed
don't
it.
Exit. Don't do this.
But okay, like that's. And like the show floor was like very condensed, and it was only one half of where PAX is.
Really?
It was like one whole side of. You've been to, we've went to PAX together, right?
I went with Josh.
Okay. So there's like there's like a bridge you could walk over, and there's like two sides you could look at.
Yeah.
So Boston Comic Con is just one of those sides.
Oh man.
So it's basically half of the space available to them, and maybe they didn't need all the space, that's fine, but like the flow of it was really weird, and all the vendors were like in weird spots, and Artist Alley was like, they gave all the, like, you know, people selling prints and t-shirts and like all sorts of non-comic stuff, like huge booths, and then like, you know, Artist Alley was like the shitty Artist Alley that our last table that we had, you know.
Oh yeah,
it was like just a continuation of that vibe. They had like the outer perimeter of it was like Mike Zeck and Art Adams and like real comic book people, but then like inside of that was like all the local people, and like they were just like kind of like given like short shitty tables, and like it was like there wasn't enough room really to walk down the aisle, so they were like so packed in. It's like, why is space an issue? This is, you have like all of this room in here.
Why didn't you just rent the whole thing? Like, why are you cramming everything in?
If you didn't, like, there was other space on the floor that you could just have widened the aisles a little bit and not even used the whole other room, you know? Like, they just needed to widen it up because everybody's got cosplay on, and like, you're trying to get by them. It was like, for me, Artist Alley, I didn't walk through it because I just felt like it was too cramped over there. So, like, that, like, does a disservice to all those people that, like, paid for artist tables there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not cheap, as we
it's
know.
It's not cheap.
And this is the only way they make any money, a lot of these guys, you know? Like,
and I'm not going to speak for the person, but we know someone that bought a table there last year. They, like, Boston Comic Con came around and was like, reserve your table now. It's this amount of dollars. but get it now so that you don't have to pay full price later. So they signed up. They did the same thing this year. They came up, and last year it was $100 more. This year it's $100 more.
Oh,
to sign up for next year. And the most of the report from anybody that was selling stuff there was that it was more expensive to get a table, and they sold less stuff this year in 2017 than they ever have.
Wow. I mean, that sucks. I mean, like, I'm just gonna say, yeah, like, it sucks.
And I know that, like, I would probably, like sort of, like, grumble under my breath and, like, complain about how Boston Comic Con was run, like, before, even though they were very nice and totally generous, like, always give us press passes, always ask me to moderate panels and stuff.
Absolutely, we always got in.
Yeah. But they were always like, oh, it's this, you know, I don't think the space is big enough. We'd have, like, our gripes, but...
Yeah, it was usually about the space, actually. Yeah. Something about that, I don't know, but it was weird to me.
But this is, like, it's almost like careful what you wish for, because that we have more space now, but then people running the show that are not local at all. So there was, like, there was no sort of, like, camaraderie, there was no sort of, like, feeling of like that this was a Boston Comic-Con. It was just a it was a Comic-Con and celebrity guest fan expo, which is
They don't even call it Comic-Con anymore, it's Fan Expo.
Yeah, right? and it was more about signings and stuff like that than any sort of comic book stuff. I only went to 3 comic book panels, and 2 of them were like awful. Like, there was really? There's usually like a there weren't really even that many panels programmed, you know?
Oh, man.
And none of them were like, you know, you could go see like Matt Smith and Kieran Gillen, or you could go see Stan Lee, or it's like, right. I didn't even bother trying to go to those things, because it's like, you're going to be waiting in line and then you might not get in, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah, really.
So it was just very corporate. They didn't like really reach out to the comic book community, which is, I don't mean that to mean like, us or me or anything. I'm just saying, like, they didn't reach out to people like, hey, maybe we could like program some cool panels with like the artists that are there, or like do anything like that. They did that to like, they did like 1%, like just barely enough to call themselves a Comic-Con. Jeez. To like just barely have like 2 panels. And then one of the panels I went to, they were like, oh, it's wrong, and then the sign was wrong. And then they were like, we switched the times. And I was like, well, you're going to update your sign that somebody's holding that says Image Comics Panel, but it's not that anymore. Like, someone's standing there holding the sign telling you that it's not this panel, but that panel is still written on their sign. It's like, get the dry erase marker out and write all the information on it, you know?
So is this just a case of, like, this is their first year and maybe they'll get it down?
I don't think so, because if you think about it, it's not their first year. This is
all over the country.
This is their business. So they just incorporated their business. They just threw their business model onto our city. And, you know, that's probably how they're able to get, you know, such big guests and stuff. It's like they're a big talent buyer. They just...
Right.
You know, they sign up like, he wasn't there, but like Stephen Amell from Arrow, let's say they sign him up, but he has to do 5 conventions. Doesn't matter where they are, or like,
is that how these things work?
I think so. Yeah. I would think it's more like sort of my world, like with like music stuff, like that's what you would do, is say like, oh, I'm going to book this band and they have to play, you know,
this many shows.
All the places that I book, you know, from New York to Ohio, and you have to play 5 of them.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, I never really thought of that. I thought, like, people are like, oh, yeah, I'll do that.
I think that's probably
how it is now, because it's such a big business.
Yeah.
They just have people who want to show up. They literally are contracted to do...
Yeah, or they say, like, maybe they're not contracted to 5, maybe they're contracted to 1, but they get to pick it, or they're contracted to 2, and they say, well, we have 10 shows of the year, you pick the ones you want to go to.
Right, and you do, like, I mean, you know, New York or whatever, but wow, I mean, like...
I would say that non-comics fans of mine, like, my friend Anthony, like, was really excited that the the voice of Mario was there, and like there was some cancellations, like Meatloaf was supposed to be there but he canceled, and
right,
like people that aren't as like connected to the scene had like an okay time, but I don't think they had a great time. And I definitely like felt the vibe as soon as they got in there. I was like, this is weird. This isn't what I expected. You know,
it's like, not it's not really about comics, and it's been like that for you know, not Boston necessarily, but I mean certainly New York and San Diego were kind of going that way.
Yeah, we have like such a, you know, Boston is like, we have such a like a community thing that it's like,
yeah,
like, you know, like when we don't get to, I think all those guys like Eric and Colin like ended up working for the convention too, but like, you know, like it's not like we're like, you know, like when we were like running into Colin like a couple years ago and say, hey dude, check it out, here's a guest list for Boston Comic Con. Like,
you didn't see that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that part is like completely gone. It's just like this big company is coming in to do the convention now. Like Walker Stalkers this weekend too, which is, we always have a good time at that. But it's like, this is a thing that happens now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like, you know, those guys.
It's not like a fun little gathering of you know, all your friends. Or
yeah,
that
we've been doing for 10 years straight, you know?
Yeah. This is, well, man, it's disappointing to hear. I was excited. I still wasn't able to go, but I mean, I thought, well, a new venue would be good, you know. Probably, but yeesh. It's funny, too, because people know, like, people who know that I do a comic, but they don't really know much about it, go like, oh, are you doing Boston Comic Con? Are you signing? I'm like, no, that's too much money. Like, I can't afford that.
Right. And, like, why wouldn't they almost, like, try to make it, you know,
make it a little easier for the, for
make
people,
it easier for you or for us to go to get there or something, you know, like, as like a comic book like entity in town, like, how come they don't incentivize people to be like,
yeah,
hey, like, you're like the local, you're like the grassroots part, you know, like,
sure. I mean, they know that, like, what, like 50,000 people are gonna go a day.
I think they just know that, and then they calculate it out, and they just assume everyone's gonna pay full price, and that no one's gonna complain, you know?
Because we're so important, of course. Like, you're gonna, yeah. It's weird. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be like the, it's too corporate. I don't know. I didn't even go, but and, you know.
Yeah, crazy. But I mean, I could tell you, you probably would have felt the same way, like. You know, like, it just felt like, it just felt very corporate, like which I don't feel like when I go to New York Comic Con, which I still feel like is, I mean, it's a gigantic, huge, big deal, right? But like,
yeah,
one thing that was really, like, you know, that I noticed a lot, bless you, was like, there wasn't like any publishers there. You know, like, it wasn't like IDW was there, or Image was there, or Marvel was there, or DC was there. It's just like, it was all local vendors, or like the people that, you know, let's say they drive around from Ohio and just sell t-shirts all year. Like,
right.
You know, it was like people like that. And, you know, some local, you know, like our friend Sam was obviously selling shirts there. And like, you know, Neil Adams was there with this gigantic table and stuff, and it's cool. You know,
oh,
like,
good old grumpy.
Yeah, Neil Adams. I mean, he's a grumpy old guy, but you know,
that's all right. I mean, hey, I enjoyed meeting him.
Harmless, but, in the, you know, he didn't take anything away from the being there. You know, like,
yeah.
And then it's just, and then like local tables, local artist alley, like those celebrities that I mentioned, like, but like, you know, Tim Curry, like. Yeah, it's like fan culture, like, you know.
Yeah, Rocky, he was Rocky Horror, Rocky, right?
But, yeah. You know, but I do have to say that I texted you guys a picture because I was walking. Actually, this was the first day and relates to the story about the no exit sign.
Oh, good.
I was walking through that and I was like, well, wait, where am I supposed to go? And I was like, fine. And I started walking toward where I was, the real exit was. And that's when, through the pipe and drape, like, whoosh, wishes open, and then this crazy person comes flying through on a little scooter, and it was Stan Lee.
Oh my, yeah, you did.
He was right in front of me, and like it was like just enough time for me to take out my phone and take a picture of him, like blurry, like driving away. But like, it's almost like he almost ran me over. And I didn't even get a chance to say like "Hiya, Stan." I just like
"Hiya, Stan,"
fumbled with my phone and like got that quick picture. But you know, like he was like right there.
Oh my god!
And it's... Stan Lee's got a whole operation, like
of course,
has, like a whole section of the thing for like selling exclusive Stan Lee covers that you could get signed, and like exclusive Stan Lee merch, and like all the Spider-Man stuff, like. Just right. All Stan Lee Enterprises or whatever his company is called. Like,
I know, I'm sure he's got all kinds of handlers and everybody. Oh.
It's ridiculous. Like, and then they have like exclusive Stan Lee like T-shirts and like stuff like that, you know?
Did you see there's this thing where each different convention is like competing to try to be the last Stan, like the last convention that Stan Lee goes to?
I know, that's weird.
It's like, oh, we got the last Stan Lee.
Because it was supposed to be like last year was supposed to be like his last.
Yeah, he was never supposed to come to Boston again, right? That was supposed to be it for Boston, at least. And then he was here again, catching his $100, you know, like every time you want to see him. I don't know. I'm sorry. I know I give. I'm a little grumpy when it comes to Stan Lee. I know he's the reason we're all doing this, but like, he's. I don't know. He probably gives a lot to charity or whatever, but I mean, that guy is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Billions, probably.
I just wish...
He'll charge $100 every interview?
I just wish he would just, like, go home and relax.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, like...
Oh, you've like, done enough, you know?
Grandpa, or great-grandpa, like... Yeah. Just go home and relax.
Just enjoy the like, last two remaining your, like, years of your life, right? I mean, like...
Turn on your Skype camera and give us, like, a Stan Lee soapbox if you're bored.
Yeah, or something. You're really... You know, YouTube, if you miss the fans, if you want to give the fans something, do a little interview here and there. But yeah, just sit at home in your, I'm sure, ginormous house and just relax and enjoy the last few years of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see you like tip over at some convention, you know, like on your little scooter.
Well, that was like a Kevin Smith story where he like went over to Stan's house and then like Stan, like, almost, like, slipped and, like, fell backwards. And all he could think of was, like, oh, my God, I killed Stan Lee. Like, he kind of did, like, a what, but then, like, caught himself. Like, Kevin was there to catch him.
He's 90 years old, right? Or something like that? I mean,
oh, he's, like, old. Easily, like, I think he's, like, 95 or 90.
Yeah, like, he's older. He's in his 90s. He's one fall away. That's it. Like,
94 years old.
Not to be morbid, but you know what I mean? Like, he's close.
Yeah, you know? He is.
But, I mean, you know, okay, so this whole corporate thing that we were talking, I mean, like, it's one thing you would hope that if a big corporation comes and takes over, they'd at least have their app straight, right? Like, why can't they?
I think that they were, I almost think that it's like, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I almost think it was like on purpose because. I think this year, 2017, was the last time you'll see the words Boston Comic Con on anything.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to buy the show, and like we want people to know what it is. You know, like, we don't want to rebrand everything. Like, we want to say, this is Boston Comic Con. But it's not. But they, like, next year it's going to be...
They do want to rebrand everything.
Yeah, well, you know, they want... Eventually. They wanted to get all the people that went to 2016 right. to come to 2017. But now that they didn't put up, you know, like they have like step and repeat banners where people take their pictures in front of them and stuff. All said Fan Expo Boston on it. Nothing said Boston Comic Con on it.
Yeah, this is the last year for anything that says Boston Comic Con. I'm sure you're right about that.
Yeah, so they were like, you know, that now that they have everybody's email addresses, like they don't have to, you know, call it Boston Comic Con at all.
But I mean, that's like sad because that is exactly what comic book people don't want.
Right.
You know, which I guess comic book people aren't important.
And I just wish there was more like, okay, maybe Marvel and DC are like too big to come to something like this. But why wasn't there any comic book like publishers or like even media or something? Like, you know, like there wasn't like comicbook.com booth or like very fine if not what do you call it like We Love Fine booth wasn't there like right. Big things I see at every convention like I didn't see anywhere.
It's funny too, yeah, when I looked at the list of the vendors and the guests and the artists and everything, there were a lot of people that I used to see, you know, that did not come this year. Not like huge names, but I mean people that used to come to Boston.
And I think that like a lot of artists and stuff probably couldn't afford it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I mean, Mark McKenna, who goes to every convention usually, like, didn't come to Boston. And I know
he's like our canary in a coal mine. Like, if he's not going to that, then it's like, wow.
A canary in a coal mine.
Like, he would even go to, you know,
he goes North, to like library.
North Coast Comic Con.
I know, he went to that one, you know, that we were at.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know apparently he was in Alaska, according to his Facebook, but still, I mean, it's just funny that the amount of people that I saw that weren't going. And it is weird that Marvel wouldn't have something. They usually have, like, you know, the thing where the talent scouting and whatever, you know, like the DC talent search thing is usually you can show your portfolio to them and stuff. Do you know if they did all that? Maybe they did. I don't know.
For who?
Like, they have, like, a DC talent, like, search.
Oh, no, none of that. No, there was no, like, presence of any publisher. As far as I could tell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is Fan Expo. That's what's happened. It's basically become like no offense, like we were saying to Walker Stalker, because it's a different entity. It's a show, but it really is just for fans to show up, meet the cast members, buy some junk. You know what I mean? Like, and
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's
it. And actually, I mean, you know, we've been a few times. Like, I think Walker Stalker Con is great. It's fun. Yeah. It's a cool little thing. It's like, hey, remember Walking Dead? Like, great. You know, some extra horror stuff, and it's like the right size. Like, it's small enough. You know.
Yeah. No, it is. It's fun. The people really get into it. It's fun to see that. But this was a comic convention, and they basically turned it into just like the same deal that, you know, that Walker Stalker is. With just celebrities and junk, right? No, I don't mean junk like junk, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just meeting celebrities and buying stuff. You know what I mean? Where it used to be like, oh man, I want to go and meet this artist. Like, I met David Mack at Boston Comic Con a few years ago, and that was, I don't know why. Like, he was just the coolest dude, and now I buy everything he does.
Yeah. Like,
because he was such a nice guy, and he was so down to earth and so normal. And I'm like, man, that guy was, what a cool dude. And wow. Now, anything he does, I'm going to buy it. But, like, you know, I mean, if those guys aren't there, how are you supposed to connect with these?
And the one thing is they did need a Boston Comic Con did need a bigger space. Like, that was my major complaint, I think, from last year was like, yeah, this is cool. But, like, there's not enough room for all these people. Like,
yeah, and it needs to be laid out, you know, a better layout, I think, just in general, and just, I don't know, yeah.
And the people that we know that were selling stuff there were, like, not really happy with, you know, we faced this, too, when we were stuck next to Star Trek guy, or, like, stuck in a weird corner. It's like, we're kind of like beggars can't be choosers, but, like,
right.
You know, like, we're like, whatever, but, like, somebody's, like, trying to pay their bills by selling, you know, prints or t-shirts or something, like, where they're located on the floor is, like, really important, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Convention, like, roulette.
They need to think about it a little more, or, like, ask them if they have a preference or something, rather than just, like, be like, oh, you're the third person, so you're 103, you know? Like, right. Okay, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, now I'm stuck, yeah, like, here, or where, or wherever. Yeah, like, if you're on that weird corner thing that we were at a couple years ago, that was a hard place, because some people never even walked by that.
Yeah, and then everybody wanted to go to those
the zombie gnomes, yeah.
Zombie gnomes, which are cool. Those guys are awesome.
Like,
Yeah.
But then, like, yeah, like, even just that little, like, even that little interaction, like, that wouldn't happen really now. Like, we'd have to spend, like, without exaggerating, like, almost $1,000 to have a table at this thing. And it's like, would it be worth it for us? I don't think so.
Whoa, that's...
Not for our free podcast that we make making money off of. And, you know, your comic book, you're just trying to... Get your money back for printing it. You know, it's like,
oh, jeez,
how would that investment make any sense?
But like years ago, that was how artists, and it's probably still the case. But I mean, a lot of artists, that's how they made their money. You know, like doing cons and selling art, and you know, meeting the people. You know, that's how. It's the only way to sell. I'm even discovering this now. Like, it's hard to sell something just posting on Facebook, being like, hey, there's this cool Robin Hood comic, you know, because like you might get your friends to buy some, but that's it, you know. Yeah. But if you go to I did the store signing, you know, a while back, and that's like, oh, you talk to people, you tell them what it's about, and they're like, oh, it sounds cool, and they flip through it, and they're like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, and you seem like a nice guy, and they just buy it, you know. So like, it's hard to do that if you can't afford the table, for one thing.
Yeah, right.
And some of these other things, like Rachel and I were talking, and I don't know if this was the case here, but like the last couple of times, some of these guys who sell the big prints and the t-shirts, like those aren't really even, there's some question about the legality of that, you know? Like,
oh yeah, and
yeah.
As far as that's concerned, as far as I can tell this year, like the convention really turned a blind eye to like anything like that.
Oh man,
there was all sorts of stuff. I mean, there were definitely licensed vendors and stuff like.
Oh, I know they're not like, but I mean, like
there was some that definitely weren't. And
yeah, I mean, you're selling another artist's stuff.
You know, like Stefan bought like the specialized like Star Wars on Blu-ray or something. You know, it's like they wouldn't usually let you sell like Blu-ray like. Bootleg DVDs at something like that, maybe at a smaller show like they would, right. But like not at something like this.
So that was that is weird. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen any of that at Boston.
Yeah, they just people just have them. Like, I mean, it's not like they were like buy your bootleg DVDs here. It would be like they would have a person would have toys, some comics, and then that stuff. You know, and it'd just kind of be mixed in with all of their stuff. You know,
wow. Weird.
Yeah.
Wow. So Boston Fan Expo.
I give it a lukewarm rating. So I went to this first panel with Mike, Zach, and stuff, and a lot of people showed up. And they were like, oh, not a lot of people here. So like they brought it onto the floor. Like, so the artists and stuff like got onto the floor, just sat around round robin in a circle. And didn't use microphones, so I sat through the whole thing, and like through all the rock and roll, I can like barely hear what anyone's saying anyways. So like, I sat through a panel, I couldn't hear what anyone was saying.
Oh my god.
And then I went to Alan Tudyk's panel for Con Man. That was cool. I raised my hand, I asked a question, and then he gave me like a backstage pass to something that was signed. Everybody that answered a question got like some, you know, trinket.
Oh, that's cool.
And Felicia Day was there. That was fine. And then I went to the Image Comics panel on Sunday, and everybody was so asleep because it was the Sunday convention. They were like, oh, a lot of these guys have flights to get out of here, and I don't really know what we're going to talk about. And it was like the most boring panel, and like everyone was half asleep. And I sat through it, and I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Like... I've done Sunday afternoon panels. I did one with Bernie Wrightson last year. There was like wasn't a ton of people there, A. And yeah. B, like I was prepared and I had exciting questions and had a great conversation with him. Like that's because you're prepared for the panel that you have to do. You say,
right.
What do you guys think about what it's like to have Image be 25 years old? Was like literally the subject of the panel. It's like you guys can't think of anything else. You got like the artists for Invincible here. You got Jason Latour. Like, you know, you got all these amazing people, and you like have the most boring panel. It's like, come on.
So it's Sunday. I'm sorry that you had a lukewarm time, although it sounds like that's even being generous.
It's
been a half an hour complaining about the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not going to go back, but I just hope it gets better.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I guess the one thing, I'm sure they're out there, but there aren't, as far as comic conventions, those are probably, getting rarer, more and more rare by the year, I feel like, They're all becoming the big, meet Gillian Anderson type of, and whatever type of things.
Well, I'm going to go to New York, and that's going to be my Comic Con experience.
All right. Well, there we go.
And Reed Pop puts on a good show. I mean, I know it's New York and, all that, but I would go to see that show or C2E2. Like, those guys put on a better show than Fan Expo Canada does.
Oh, all right. Well,
there you go. So you've listened to me complain about Boston Comic Con.
That's the review of Boston Comic Con. Do you...
Lukewarm at best.
Lukewarm at best. Well, I mean, I heard some other things that were similar. I didn't hear anybody be like, it was awesome! So...
Yeah, no one said it was awesome.
Yeah. Well, what about, what else? Have you watched any Defenders? I only watched one episode.
I watched the one episode because I figured we would talk about it today.
Very well.
Very well.
I didn't watch any Iron Fist, though, so I don't know what he's doing, but the rest of it was good.
Well, his powers, right? You know who Iron Fist is?
Yeah, I know who Iron Fist is.
Probably all you need to know.
Figured I don't need to know. He's after the hand. That's right. I mean,
yeah, fist hand.
Yeah, fist hand. Right. It all relates. It was good. It's good to see Jessica Jones again. It was good to see all of them back. Because it feels like it's been a long time since Daredevil has been on screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It hasn't been that long, but it feels like he's the farthest away as far as the order I watched them in anyway. I just finished Luke Cage not too long ago. So, but, I'm sure they're going to get them all in it.
Yeah.
It's just building things.
Punisher teaser was out.
I got to watch that. But, I'm going to watch the show anyway. I don't need teasers.
Yeah, you don't.
I know I'm going to watch it. But, Defenders was one episode. That's all I watched.
Some sort of earthquake at the end there.
Yeah, what was going on with that?
I think that Sigourney Weaver's assistant there at the end.
So that wasn't Elektra, right?
Was it?
It looked kind of
like...
Yeah,
it was. It was.
It was. That's what I thought. But she's her assistant. Yeah. But she seems like she's not... She's like under some kind of control or something. Yeah, maybe she's like, not herself.
Because she was, she was dead.
Yeah, she was dead. Yeah.
So she's like, feels a little
out of it. She's kind of being mind controlled. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Whatever. Luke Cage. He's cool. Rosario Dawson.
Back. Yeah, a lot of hot sexiness going on there.
They were doing it. It was the best line of the whole thing was when he said was Foggy, and he said he helped Luke Cage get out or whatever, and he said people call me Foggy, and he's like, and you let them?
Yeah, I thought that was funny too.
Foggy looked good. He looked all slick, he had his hair all slicked back. He looked all professional attorney. But no, it's just building. So I assume, or at the very end, the earthquake thing or whatever is happening, and Daredevil is kind of like, oh, he's going to just put on the suit and help people, right? I mean, that's like the...
Yeah, because they were like, because who said something? Karen Page was like, do you miss putting on the suit? He's like, no.
No, but then he went to confession, and he's like, I lied, I miss it.
I miss the suit.
What a weird thing to confess.
Yeah.
But he's a very guilty Catholic boy, so that's what the Catholic Church teaches people. To feel guilty about everything.
I do like how they are sort of all coming together. It's cool to have this be the TV version of the Avengers, you know? Like,
yeah, it's true. But they're like, you know, they're more real, they're more gritty.
Yeah.
Good. I like it. I mean, obviously Luke Cage and Jessica Jones already know each other. And yeah, so it'll be good to see them all though come together.
I was wondering if Luke Cage and Misty Knight are going to eventually get it on.
Well, they got it on once already in the very beginning of Luke Cage, like the first episode, I think.
I want them to get it on again.
Maybe they'll get it on again. I don't know. But, yeah, Luke Cage gets it on with a lot of people, actually.
He does.
He's like the biggest stud in the whole Marvel Cinematic Netflix universe.
That's true.
That guy has more sex than any of the other dudes. I mean, Captain America, he doesn't do anything. Like,
no.
he kissed a Black Widow once, and she was like, "Is that your first kiss since 1945? And he's like, "All right, we're not." But whatever, I'm excited. It's good.
And it's short, too. Isn't it only like 8 episodes?
Oh, is it? Oh, I don't know. Wow, I think you're right. Now they got a lot to squeeze in here.
But that's good because, not that Luke Cage wasn't too long, but I felt like Iron Fist was too long.
I feel like Luke Cage was a little too long. The last episode was like, I didn't really care for. I remember being like, what? Like, this is it? So he fights the guy. Like, the guy, the Wrath guy, right? Diamondback or whatever. And then, like, he beats him, and I'm like, whoa, we got, like, another half an hour of show left here. Like,
yeah.
I thought it went a little too long. The last episode just didn't need to be there. Just beat the guy in the 12th episode or whatever. Oh, well. I didn't watch Iron Fist, though. I mean, maybe I still will someday. But
yeah, you can.
I heard, like, eh.
It's all right. It's not great. It's not great.
All right. Well, hey. Whatever.
Hey, man. I watched Guardians again.
Oh, yeah?
And I still think you're crazy. It's not too long. It's not too long.
Maybe I'll watch it again. I don't know. It came out. I'll buy it on Amazon just because it is a good movie. I wasn't saying it was bad. I was just saying if they chopped off a few minutes at the end.
A few minutes, yeah.
Well, like 10 minutes. Like 10 minutes. Where they're talking about, and Yondu, and the whole. But.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
I like the Mary Poppins line. But there was a lot leading up to that, and there was a lot after that. Even when Yondu was dead, and they have the whole big funeral, and then they have the whole thing with the Ravagers. I'm just like, all right, we get it.
Like, but that scene that you're thinking of, like West Street, isn't really that long.
It's not really that long.
Yeah. That's what I noticed when I watched it again.
All right. Well, we know West Street isn't that long.
Have you seen the Inferno music video, the Guardians music video?
No.
Zazu Hafufrau?
No, I have not.
It's amazing.
All right.
They have a David Hasselhoff disco video to promote the release of the DVD or whatever.
All right.
It is fucking hilarious.
All right. I'll check it out. I'll buy it on Amazon this week. You know. So there you go.
So what about any comic books?
I actually made it to a store and I read a couple comic books.
Very well.
Remember I gave the Hulk Generations book a kind of lukewarm review?
Yes. You gave it a Luke Cage review.
A Luke Cage review.
Mm-hmm.
I went and bought the Wolverine one.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about the Wolverine one. Which is more like the movie Old Man Logan than anything else I've ever read.
Well, there was a lot of that. A lot of cutting up and, you know, whatever.
Man, I miss regular Wolverine, man.
I will say I do miss that, too. I mean, I as much as, I mean, yeah, we're at a point now where we know he's going to come back to life because everybody comes back to life.
It just made me miss him so much.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what, just keep him around.
It was almost like Old Man Logan Wolverine and Wolverine, what's the second Wolverine movie?
The Wolverine.
The Wolverine. Like, that, yeah. That was the Wolverine that showed up for this Wolverine Generations book.
In fact, they even, the exact same thing. Did you notice this? I'm sure that, I don't know if this is intentional, but you know, in The Wolverine, they shoot him with those arrows that have chains on them or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, they, you know what I mean? Like, they shoot him with a bunch of arrows near the end. And then they drag him because the arrows are sticking in him and they're right. Attaching. That exact same thing happens in this one.
Well, that must have been intentional.
Yeah.
Because I noticed the art even was like a little bit like, I was like, oh, it's like, the art at the beginning was like, they're fighting in this warehouse. This looks like Old Man Logan. And then like toward the end, I was like, oh, this is like The Wolverine, the movie.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought it got a little weird at the end. And like, first of all, I don't remember Wolverine having the adopted daughter. I'm sure it happened. I just don't remember it.
I don't know that that wasn't just made up for the story, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I could be wrong.
I feel like it happened.
Like, even like Laura and Wolverine were like, do you know why I'm here? Do we know what this is? They're like, no, well, I have a feeling, but I think it's this. Like, they kept it like pretty intentionally vague.
Well, they did the same thing in that other, in the Hulk one too, where it's just kind of like, I don't know, I just got transported through this time, yeah, or whatever. And he even says the same thing. He's like, so what are you, like, you know, alternate universe, whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't really answer. But I mean, it's tough because in her mind, she's like, I know Wolverine dies.
Right.
But I don't want to tell him that because I don't want to alter the future, which is whatever. But anyway, yeah. So at the end, spoiler warning, if you haven't read a book
that's like basically a what if, so it, yeah, doesn't, it's really not really matter if you spoil,
in the end,
it,
it's not gonna matter. But you know, he's like, okay, he's telling his daughter, who they just saved her, he's like, okay, bye,
I'm, see ya, you know,
you're safer without me, and I'll see you later. And he's walking away, and Laura is like, oh man, you should go back in and read her a story, you just don't want to be a dad. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of like, all right, that's enough. Like,
I thought that was sweet.
I thought it got a little preachy at the end. Like, go back and read her a story. I was like, oh boy, here you go.
Oh boy.
But whatever. I mean, I get what they were going for. And she felt bad because in her mind, Logan is her dad. And yeah, even as she's disappearing, she says, bye, dad. Even though, yeah, I mean, she's a clone of him. It's not like he,
right,
whatever, but
you know, I love my dead gay son.
I love that movie. But I mean, anyway, yeah, but I mean, he was her mentor, so I guess she feels that,
right,
kind of connection. But
or even in like Old Man Logan, the movie, you know, like, right, Laura's like made from his DNA, so it's his daughter genetically, so
right, you're right, it is the genetic,
she, yeah, she can be like, you're my dad,
yeah, she does say that at some point, right,
yeah,
yeah.
But I really liked that book just because I missed regular Wolverine, and it didn't offend me in any way. I thought it was cool.
It didn't
going in a little like what if direction. I don't know if I'm gonna buy any of the other ones unless it's gonna be like a character I really like.
Yeah, I don't know. They've got Captain Marvel. They've got Hawkeye. They've got Thor.
Maybe I'll check out the Hawkeye one.
Yeah, maybe I will. But she does use the foot claw, really. That's pretty
cool. Oh, yeah, and he's like, oh, that's new.
So, oh, not exactly like me. She's
yeah.
So that was cool. I did like that moment.
I don't remember her having foot claw in, like, the current run of comics, but
yeah, she does. She doesn't use it that much. I'm pretty sure she does.
All right.
But it was good to see classic Wolverine. I'm not a fan. I mean, I love Logan the movie, but old man Logan just being around in the current X-Men continuity is kind of weird. I don't know.
It's just.
Bring back regular Wolverine.
Yeah, you know? he just doesn't need to be crusty enough.
You don't need to have old crusty Wolverine.
Yeah, he's already crusty.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean, that's the way it is. What else? I bought Thor. I bought
The Mighty Thor. She fights Volstagg.
She fights, yes. The War Thor.
About to fight Volstagg.
Yeah, now they get ready for the big. So there's only one more issue.
I gotta be honest with you, man. I knew what was happening, so there was a lot of Valhalla dialogue or whatever at the beginning of that. I couldn't read it.
You just skip through all that? Yeah.
I just skip it. It's like, I know what's happening. This guy's angry at this person. Okay.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. I try to read every panel sometimes, and then I'm like, whew, this book is taking a while.
I don't. Well, that was like page two. I was like, all right, really?
Yeah, we know.
I mean, I didn't skip like a whole section of the book. I was just like, oh, I'm not going to read that.
A lot of this old Asgard dialogue is tough, and I don't know who this Cinder person is, but obviously I know what her deal is. She's bad, and she burns people, so that's
yeah.
About
that's
it.
What I was like. Oh, bad burning people. Okay, flip.
Oh, the hell is this? I'm sorry. Sorry about that. So yeah, bad burns people. That's all you need to know, really. And there's a war going on. We know there's a war.
There's a war.
So apparently there's going to be one more issue, and then they're going to go back up to 700, Thor 700, and that's going to start a different storyline, maybe. Well, it's called The Death of the Mighty Thor, so I think we might be coming to the end of the Jane Foster era.
Well, hopefully we'll get back to regular old Odin's.
Hopefully we'll get back to Odin's, and yeah. I'm sure eventually they will, probably just in time for the movie.
But are we sure eventually they will, that we'll get Wolverine back? Or do you think that's out of the question?
I don't know. I mean,
I know I just went back to Wolverine, but like I just thought it was like... it's going to be... They have to bring these characters back eventually, right?
Sure. No, I'm sure you're... I mean, has there ever been a character that they haven't brought back? No, right? I don't think so. How many times they brought back Jean Grey? How many times they brought back, like, I don't know, who else?
Do we still think they're hiding behind a Fox rights thing for Wolverine and X-Men?
I don't know. They say no. All the other X-Men books are still around. I mean, I don't know. I wonder. I mean, obviously Fox isn't doing any more Wolverine movies for a while.
Yeah. I wonder if now go back to Thor. I wonder how long Jason Aaron's Thor run is going to be if he brings back Odinson.
I feel like I think you told me this. He wants to tell a story beginning to end, right? Like,
yeah.
So I think I kind of feel like when he wraps up this Jane Foster thing, he's probably going to move on, right? I mean, he won an Eisner already It was just nominated. Mighty Thor was nominated, so congrats to Jason Aaron.
Yeah, and Russell Dodderman, who I love that artwork, man. It's so
good. Yeah, he didn't do this issue. Did you notice there was a little bit?
I think I did notice that he didn't do that one.
He did like one page or something. If you look in the credits, it's like page one, and then page 2 through 20 was this other person. And I was kind of, I noticed. I just want to say, I will say I noticed.
I don't want the artist to hear this.
Yeah.
But this, the artist's name, the other artist.
Shitty.
His name is Shitty.
I think it's Valer. I thought it was a.
So what you're saying is Shitty.
I'm not saying it's shitty. I'm saying it is shitty, literally.
His name is shitty.
I'm just saying it was a different take. Right. I noticed.
Oh, you noticed.
I noticed that it was not the same. And, you know, I'm okay with it usually, but
yeah,
when you've had one artist on a book for so long, you suddenly change it. Right. It's kind of like,
I gotta take you over into Spider-Man corner for a minute.
Uh-oh.
Spider-Men 2, which is Miles and Peter Parker team-up book.
Okay.
It's the second one of these, because now Miles and Peter Parker do exist in the same universe, and it's not weird at all, but they're off on a little adventure.
Oh, no, it's not weird at all.
No, I mean, it's not like when the first one came out, it was like, what is happening?
Right.
But now they
be Spider-Man.
Yeah, now they live in the same world.
Right.
But now what's happening?
Now
the Taskmaster is working for somebody named Morales, and Taskmaster is fighting with both Miles and Peter Parker, and to have Peter and Miles like make funny jokes as they're fighting each other, fighting someone else, is fucking hilarious.
Ah.
So like they're both doing the Spider-Man like jokes. He's like,
oh, very good.
He's like, hey, you should. Peter's like, hey, you should do this, and he's like, Miles is like, oh, I'll write that down, and then he's like, got a pen? It's like, it doesn't sound funny now, but like this, the way they go back and forth is hilarious.
Oh, very good.
And I'm enjoying it.
I know. You're a Spidey guy.
Good. Yeah, well, you know, and it's Ultimate Spidey as well.
Right.
I'm not going to bore you with the Scarlet Spider book or the Renew Your Vows book, which I've...
No, I love the Scarlet Spider. I love the Scarlet Spider book.
Oh, you do? Did you read that one?
When was the last one that came out? I'm sure I read it.
It was either this week or last week.
I don't think it came out this week. If it did, I missed it, so... Shit. I like that book a lot. I like that book.
Kane... Oh, yeah, because it's your boys, Peter David and Mark Bagley.
Peter David and Mark Bagley. How can you go wrong? They're my boys!
This is the one where, in similar fashion to the Thor book we just read on the last page, like, Kane and Ben are like facing each other off in costume.
Right.
Did you read that one?
Yeah, I did. I did. I think that was a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff, though. I enjoyed it. I enjoy that book.
I forgot that you liked that one.
That's the one Spider-Man that I'm into.
It's not Spider-Man at all.
What?
Because it's not Spider-Man at all, really.
Actually, you're right. It's not. it's not Dan Slott is really what I'm excited about.
Very well.
So I read something about Renew Your Vows. I didn't know. Are you into that book too?
Yeah. I'm into it.
Shit. They're doing an 8-year jump in that book, apparently. I just read online. So they're just going to jump ahead 8 years. So I guess that girl can be all grown up or whatever.
Huh.
And be like Spider Lady or whatever.
Yeah, it's not. It's not bad. It's pretty fun.
All right. So that's coming out of the Secret Wars thing, right? I mean, that's not Marvel regular 616.
As far as I know, this is... I keep saying it's a what-if, but I just mean it's like a different universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Peter and Mary Jane are married, and they have this girl.
And that their big enemy in this one is... Little Norman Osborn, because regular Norman Osborn, Green Goblin, is dead. And there's like a little...
So kid. Harry Osborn's kid is...
Norman. Norman yeah. Osborn.
Little Normie?
Yeah, Little Normie. And he's only like a kid. He's like 10 or 12 years old or something. But he has like the Osborn haircut. And then he kind of like is like... You know, Peter and what's her name? Is her name Mary Jane? The other little spider girl?
I think she's May, right?
May, yeah. Okay, May Parker. And like Peter is like, you know, saves little Norman from some danger. And then it's like, you know, he's like, your dad loved you, blah blah blah, you know, be a good little boy, and he swings away. And then and then little Norman Osborn is like, well, if you loved my dad so much, why didn't you save him? And you can see him like already turning into a goblin.
Oh no. Oh boy.
The Revenge of the Green Goblin. So he's gonna be like a little kid, like on the
10-year-old.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I found my dad's closet full of you know, pumpkin bombs.
And I'm gonna go kill Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if they jump ahead though, then it will be, you know, they'll be older.
Oh, true. True that.
So little Normie will be a, you know, will be like, yeah, teenage Normie.
Thanks for reminding me of the thing you just said a second ago.
Very well. I mean, that's what I read on Newsarama.
No, so I like it.
Yeah.
Keeping abreast.
Yeah, you know, keeping up with the everything. Making sure I got the all this legacy stuff is really what I was.
Have you been reading any The Batman?
Yeah. I have been reading The Batman.
Did you read The Batman with the Riddler and the Joker at dinner?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't read the one where they're at dinner. Yet. I didn't read that yet. But the last one I read was, like, there was a guy. Oh, shit. It was a couple weeks ago now. I can't remember. But there was a thing. The Joker had this guy, like, I can't remember it now. It was a very good story, but it was very much just a kind of weird, like, sort of, like, contained, very sort of self-contained kind of story. I can't remember what happened now, but I remember enjoying it. Because, you know, there were jokes and riddles sort of going back and forth.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. It was kind of neat.
Very well.
Very well. But yeah, I am reading that, but I guess I'm one behind now.
Just one behind. But oh. I guess there's some new stuff happening with the multiverse, with Scott Snyder and his book Metal and the Forge, which I need to go back and catch up on.
I haven't read any of that stuff. I only read the Batman.
Do you read All-Star Batman?
Yeah, but I'm kind of behind on that one too.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not like, it's never top of the stack, as right. they say.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never on the stack. It's never on the top of my stack either. That's why I have to go back.
Yeah. That's easy though, because yeah, I think that's like a 2 week. It's like a 2 week one, right? Or at least one of them.
Yeah.
I guess regular Batman is.
Yeah.
And when you start to like let it slide, and you're like, well, I gotta read them in order, and then you're like, oh, right. Now I'm suddenly like 5 issues behind. Although I did it kind of recently, where I just banged through, and I was like, oh, this isn't bad. Like, but like it took, yeah, those books that come out twice monthly.
Yeah, and if you miss going to the store or something, you're like,
scratch.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'll get the fill-in issue like on Comixology or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. But it's kind of neat, though, because sometimes you're like, okay, I'm going to just read all these right now.
Well, that's what I like to do, too. It's like, sometimes, I don't.
Yeah. I don't do it that often, but when I do, it's kind of fun.
Like, and if we take a little break or whatever, sometimes I won't put it off to the last minute, but I'll be like, oh, okay. Like, there's my stack of books I need to read before the next time we jump on the pod.
Oh, look at you.
But that's cool, because I could spend, a good 2 hours just reading comics, which is what I love to do.
Oh, very good. It's what you love to do.
Oh, and I will say one positive thing about Boston Comic Con.
Oh, please.
Which is that I was able to fill in a ton of back issues of G.I. Joe. For some reason, the vendors that showed up at this thing had all issues I was looking for.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So how, you must, I mean, how many more do you need?
I would say that I need less than 20 issues to have a complete run.
Of 155 G.I. Joe Real American Hero.
Yep.
Was it 155?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And I found some early numbers that I needed, and then I also found some really high numbers that was like G.I. Joe starring Snake Eyes issues, which is like even after, like, I wrote in on issue 110, like, a little bit after that, I kind of was like, all right. I stopped buying comics a little bit after that.
Yeah, I remember. I did, too. But I remember seeing those issues and being like, eh, I don't really care about G.I. Joe.
Like, yeah,
G.I. Joe starring Snake Eyes. So that was an actual thing? It was like G.I. Joe 130 starring Snake Eyes? It wasn't like a separate...
It was still Real American Hero. It's still the same, the same run and the same numbering. They just called it starring Snake Eyes.
That's weird.
Actually, I guess technically they didn't call it Real American Hero. They called it G.I. Joe starring Snake Eyes. But it's all the same run.
Alright.
And I talked to Mike Zeck a little bit, actually. I had him sign one of my covers.
Nice!
So one of my one of these comics that I found, which was like issue 30 or something, I confirmed it too. I like went onto the Joe Wikipedia page and was like, did he draw this cover? Yes, he did. Okay, cool. And then I brought it up to him and he signed it. We talked a little bit of G.I. Joe. I guess he did a silent issue for Devil's Due. And you know, it was cool. But now one of these G.I. Joe comics that I have for my run is like ruined because it has Mike Zeck's signature on it.
Ruined?
Yeah. So I'm going to have to get a duplicate of that one, I guess, now. Great.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike Zeck.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, way to go.
Same thing with my Larry Hama signed issue.
Great. Which one is that?
I think he had... I don't know which one. I think he signed my 110, which is like the one where I...
The one with your letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, you must have a couple of those, though, right? I mean,
I try to pick those up. Those are usually $10 for some reason.
What?
Everybody $10? Wants them. Yeah.
Wow.
And this time, I know it didn't
much lower.
I know what helped me is I had like a lot of cash in my pocket, and like usually I'll be like, yeah, do I want to spend $5 or $10 on this issue? And this time I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna start getting them until they're all filled in. You know,
yeah, I did that with Strange in Paradise. But, I mean, you're different than me. I just went on eBay and bought a lot of them.
Yeah, I want to get them at the
store. You want to be like, you want to, you don't want to, that's cheating, right?
Yeah, in my mind, just for G.I. Joe. If it was something else, I wouldn't care. But just for G.I. Joe, I want to do it this way.
But, yeah, I know what you mean, because I ended up buying a few that are autographed and whatever. But, I mean, I don't know.
Ruined.
Ruined, yeah, right. Oh, well, but those, you know what, those early, the first 45, maybe, issues of G.I. Joe or Real American Hero were actually really good.
Was
like a solid run there.
And I'd say up to like, you know, 70 or 82 or something like that. Pretty awesome.
I was never a Serpentor guy, but...
oh, yeah.
And I know that was around 50.
That's like 50, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was fine. They definitely had some good issues after that. But he was—I found him kind of annoying. I don't know. But anyways, well, congratulations. You're getting close.
Getting there. I'm gonna actually bring a list with me down to New York Comic Con instead of just.
Yeah, you can give me one of those.
Do I have this? I'm doing it from memory mostly.
Oh yeah, have you bought the same one a few times? You have some.
I always buy this one issue that has Major Blood on the cover, because every time I'm like, oh cool, Major Blood, Major Blood's on this cover, and then I get home and I have like three copies of it. So now when I see that,
I don't have this one.
Now when I like this, it happened to me a couple times here. I was like, oh, Major Blood, I have this one, and I put it back.
Oh, very good. I mean, I told you, you can go through all of mine. They're in pretty bad shape, but anything you want. I mean, if you ever want to come over and look through my G.I. Joes.
That'll be my last, like, if when I need to fill in a couple. And
I don't even know how many I have anymore, but you're welcome.
And I'm almost done. I'll hit you up and be like, I'm almost done. Do you have any of these?
All right. All right. Well, it was good to chat with you again, Clay. We covered Boston Fan Expo Con, non Comic Con, but
Wolverine, you know, Legends,
Wolverine Generations. In fact,
yeah, that's what it is. Not the thing I said.
We covered some Defenders. All right, well, next week I should be around now for a while. No more vacations.
That's good. I will not be around next weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, fuck.
But we'll get... Yeah, we're all right. We'll get into it.
I have to get those other two bums that show up once in a while.
Yeah, or like, you know, call an audible. Get Sam on the show. Okay.
Call an audible, get Pope or somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody.
If you're listening, friends out there that listen to the show, which you're not, because...
Right.
Why would you?
We don't have any friends. Yeah.
Durson needs a guest next Sunday at noon. So
if sure. You want to come on Skype and shoot the shit.
Yeah. But meanwhile, it's not like I'm going to say it's not an open call. You know?
Right.
I'm not going to give you our email address. But if you're a friend and you have Durson or my phone number and you want to be on the show,
yeah,
we'll work it out. Text us.
We'll work it out.
Don't call us. Text. Nobody talks on the phone.
No one talks. No one likes to talk on the phone.
Yeah. Text.
But, meanwhile, check out leaguepodcast.com. We got stuff going on over there, right?
Tons of stuff.
Oh, okay. Tons of stuff. There must be some shows and stuff.
Lots of shows.
Clay does all that. It's a good time over there. And then if you're listening over there, you can click on some of the stuff that, you know, the covers, the comic book covers. We get a little kickback if you go to that website and buy it. And, you know, that helps us out. So get on that.
If I may, I would encourage fans to go to robinhoodcomicbook.com and order an issue of Robin Hood Outlaw of the 21st Century.
Yeah, okay. You can do that too. Or if you want to just go to Amazon, that's okay.
It's on Amazon, it's on Comixology, but you know, first one's free, as they say. So if that offer is still happening.
Go to robinhoodcomicbook.com. First one is free.
It's a very good book.
It's okay. I enjoy it.
It's a very good book. Please support us. Please support more so than the show. If you want to give us some money. By Durson's comic book. That's where the funds need to be diverted to. We have a lot of offshore accounts, and we're funneling a lot of money toward that comic book these days.
Sure, yeah, all of our Swiss bank accounts, all that stuff.
It's tax-free.
It is tax-free.
Because it's a book.
Yeah. I won't charge you any tax.
Yeah.
Because it's just me. All right, well, thanks again, Clay.
Thanks to you, my friend.
Yeah, and we'll be talking to you soon, and we'll see you Jokers later, or whatever we say.
Or your Riddlers later, whoever's at the dinner table.
All right,
later, later. Now the real fun starts. This is a thing that happens now.